As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more 5-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain. This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today.
Welcome to the Rocket Ship Podcast. I'm Matt Goldman.
I'm Michael Sacca.
And I'm Joelle Goldman. Today we talked with Michael Ambergy, the founder and CEO of CarioQ. What'd you guys think?
This was really interesting. It's kind of a new way to experience karaoke on your mobile phone, but in the bar, and this is how you kind of reserve your song. So it was something that I haven't seen yet, not that I'm a big karaoke person, but it was interesting to see how these kind of take it to market and price it. What did you guys think?
Well, I am a big karaoke person, and I know that I've walked out of a bar before because you just have no idea where you are in the lineup. So this sounds super welcome, and it was really interesting to hear about how they're marketing it both to people in the bar as well as the DJs and the bars themselves. So lots of good insights in here. Let's get into it.
Wait. But Matt, what's your karaoke song?
I Believe I Can Fly.
We need a clip.
It's beautiful.
It's in falsetto.
We need it like at least 5 seconds.
No. It will ruin me. That's my alter ego.
All right, let's get into it.
Rocketship is proudly supported by Bench. Is an online bookkeeping service that provides you with tax-ready financial statements from professional bookkeepers. This week, I talked to their manager of client experience, Margaret Gray, about who are their typical clients.
Our clients are really busy, passionate, hardworking people that are running businesses. Perfect bookkeeping for them is something they don't have to think about very much. And so I don't actually want them to be thinking about us that much. That's what's telling me we're doing doing a great job with our client experience.
Go to bench.co/rocketship and get 20% off your first 6 months today.
Wistia is a video hosting platform built specifically for business. If you're using video as a part of your marketing strategy, you need to be able to measure its impact. Wistia is helping over 175,000 businesses do just that with premium video hosting, lead generation tools, and in-depth video analytics. For more about Wistia, visit wistia.com/rocketship.
All right. So Michael, welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, good. So first off, tell us a bit about what you're doing with High Volume and your first product, KarioQ.
Sure. So High Volume Media Company was started in, I guess it would have been July of last year. And really the overarching goal of the company was to use technology in order to innovate and disrupt things within entertainment, whether that be in the case of KarioQ, the karaoke industry. And so kind of speaking to that, KarioQ is basically an app and a platform that allows automation, personalization, and on-demand experiences within any venue that hosts Nights of Karaoke. And really the main goal there is the ability to create some transparency, and much like what an Uber or a Spotify or a Pandora does, you have on-demand and you have personalization. And so what I really mean with that is today in the karaoke industry, when you go to a bar that has karaoke or some venue that hosts a night of karaoke, you typically as a patron may experience different processes in order to sign up for a song. But typically you'll go to a printed songbook. It's old, it's nasty, it's outdated, it's printed. You flip through it, you find the song that you want to do, scratch it down on a piece of paper, walk it up to the DJ or the KJ. They may say it's too slow, it's already been done, it's already in the queue. So it's really cyclical for the patron or the performer. But once you do get your song in, you wait. There's no transparency. You don't know when you're coming up to sing. And the constant inflow of people to the DJ or KJ about how do I sign up for a song, or where's the songbook, or where am I at, when am I singing, all of those can cause a lot of frustration in the manual process that a KJ or DJ has to go and manually kind of account for. And then once you've had the chance to get up and sing, it's kind of the end of the experience in a way. And in fact, the people that are waiting because there is no transparency or on-demand experience, they typically leave. And once they leave, the DJ is spending more time calling out the names of people that have already left than actually playing music. And the pain point we've seen for the venues, kind of the third pain point here, is that then people are leaving. And so that hurts the vibe in the venue and also ultimately hurts their sales and their revenue. So the KarioQ product as a whole is aimed at automating all of that with the smartphones, the miniature computers that everyone carries around with them daily. So much like a Foursquare, you can check into a venue. In fact, when you go to check in, you can see how many people are at the venue and how many people are actually in the queue without even being at the venue. So it kind of gives you some immediacy and some insight. Once you're there, it's all personalized to your social profile that you've logged in with. You get the ability to see who's in the queue. You get the ability to rate the performer that's on stage 1 to 5 stars. And we digitize the songbook. So instead of going to that old nasty printed songbook, pull up the app, hit sign up to sing, search for song title or artist. Once you've found the song that you want to do, you just simply hit the sing button. And again, that transparency, the big part of the industry is that right now nobody knows when they're getting to come up to sing. There's no way to create the personalization or that on-demand experience. And so we not only show the queue, what everybody is singing and when their place in line is to sing, we have a feature called the Plus Bump. And the bump basically allows you to move yourself or anyone up the queue to sing sooner. So you get to your song, your experience in an on-demand fashion.
So I have to ask, app aside, sure. Why was this something that you were so passionate about tackling? Are you a karaoke singer?
Hell yes. I'm super, I love karaoke. I love to kind of entertain. My family has a really big background in entertainment and the music industry. My great aunts were part of the first all-female bluegrass band. Martha Carson, she went on to become like the first female of country and bluegrass. Some really impactful pioneers in where they came from the music industry. My grandfather was married to Tammy Wynette. He wrote songs for George Jones, Charlie Pride, lots of different people. So I think all that to say, there's always been like the entertainer blood flowing through me. And I think that why I identify this as a problem, obviously I had to cater to this manual experience by doing it myself as a patron or as a performer. And I also have a close friend who happens to DJ full time and has done this for the past 20 years. At a bar here in Nashville. And, you know, he's constantly talking about the disruption and the distractions and all of the manual process. And the bar owner was talking to me like, hey, you know, there's, you know, when it starts to get to like a certain hour, it's just a cluster. And we're having to try to tell people how to go sign up for songs. They're trying to do drinks and if people are leaving. So it's like, there's kind of got to be a better way, right? And we all have these miniature computers in our pockets. And so it's like, how can we leverage what we already have today in a very digital and a very mobile age and find that as a way in order for us to improve not just the actual experience, but kind of upgrade it and ultimately solve a problem as part of that.
So how big is this industry?
Well, karaoke, it's always kind of, everybody calls it a niche market, but it's $15 billion globally. It's a massive market. And we always like to say that it's gotten there on stone wheels.
And so where are you making your money? Like, are you charging the DJ? Are you charging the patrons? Where does your stuff come from?
Sure. So we have two iterations of our product. And I'll speak first about the initial version we have today, which is just simply the Karaoke app and platform. We don't charge for the app, so we create no barrier of entry for the patron or the performer. Likewise, for the actual platform, which is called KJ Connect and Venue Connect, which is inside of the Karaoke product, we don't charge them up front directly either. There's no freemium or premium subscription or licensing models. What we do is we make money as they make money. So when we talk about those plus bumps, the moves up the queue, we basically take 25% of those transactions. Part of that goes to a processing fee for a merchant account, and then the rest of that's considered revenue. And why we do that is because right now that's either A, an unrealized revenue stream, B, it doesn't exist, or C, the industry, the DJ industry and karaoke industry as a whole rely on cash tips. And obviously the dichotomy, the change and the shift from cash to debit card, credit card, PayPal, Google Wallet, Apple Pay, we're Venmo, we're accounting for all of those within our app so that no cash is no more problem. And so through that convenience, we just simply charge a fee out of that we make money as they make money.
So I can see getting a bar set up on this would be maybe the easier side of it. You have, you know, people that really want it, they can train their staff and do it. But what happens when customers come in and say there's, you know, 300 people in the bar that night? How do you get them all to use the app? Is it required in order to sing?
So that's a great question. So we've actually experienced this firsthand, right? And it's a couple of different scenarios. So one is user information, like how do you get them onboarded? How do you explain to them the value of it and get them to understand, okay, this is something that I want to do, the educational side. And then second from that is the value proposition to not only retain the user, but to be able to help kind of that implementation and onboarding at that venue. And so what we do there, we do several things. One is we incentivize the patron or the performer in that as they get the application, they can actually unlock credits to do things like bumps through being a highly rated performer for recommending or referring a friend to go download the app, or even patroning the venue multiple times throughout a month. Think of it as loyalty incentive. And the actual consumer education side of it, we actually have video and audio spots that the karaoke jockey or disc jockey, the DJ, can play in the venue across their video screens and their PA system. So think of it as like anywhere from like 15 second stingers to, you know, a minute long conversational clips that almost feel like an ad you would hear on the radio of two people talking back and forth and a guy's learning about karaoke. And if you actually on our website, karaoke.com/promote, we have some of those audio and video clips up there. And as you listen to them, you're like, oh, okay, now I get it. They're all kind of playful, but they're really geared towards consumer education. And then the additional way is through a product we've created called VenueQ. VenueQ is basically an add-on to the Karaoke platform for venues that they can then go Chromecast or broadcast the actual queue itself on television screens live in their venue. And so if you think of it very simply as the Karaoke logo in the middle, App Store and Google Play logos on left and right, and it says getting the queue download for free, and it shows the actual queue. So your social profiles, we've got your picture, you know, your first name, the song that you're singing, the artist, your rating if you want to display it. And all of those are helping drive user acquisition, as we've seen anywhere from 5 to 7 times more than when it's not used. And then likewise, you talked about not having the application on your phone. So there's the incentive, the incentivized part to go get the app. But if you don't, we're actually getting ready to launch Kiosk, which is Kiosk with a Q. And that's a tablet-based edition of the app that if someone has an older style phone or their phone is dead, they can simply walk up to the kiosk, put in their name, select their song, hit sing, and they will go into the queue, and then the ability to still see the queue in real time on that tablet kiosk-based format.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com. Now, back to the show.
So it sounds like you had a local bar to get set up with and kind of work through some of the initial bumps in the road. What have been the biggest challenges in trying to grow this, even outside of Nashville and across the country?
Sure. Scalability is always something you have to focus on. I think the biggest thing that we face is user acquisition. And so doing the things that I've just talked about, sending the venues now welcome kits that have what we like to call like a mock songbook. So it's a black binder that would be not dissimilar to what you'd see in a karaoke bar for a songbook. And it has a big orange Q and the word songbook in white letters. But when you open it, it's like, oh, snap, we've gone digital, go download the app, things like that. The user acquisition part is big. But when
just sending that out to bars across the country.
That's correct. The ones that sign up through our platform, we send them out a welcome kit. It also has like a couple of coasters that have QR codes and tiny URLs and are very graphical in nature, like double-sided. And so they have the ability to then say, if I want more of those marketing products, we direct them back to our website where they can purchase additional signs, banners, the kiosk if they want to, different things of that nature to help them increase the throughput and user acquisition. But kind of to your core point too, it's scalability. So we've utilized technologies, like Zapier, it's like a ETL and API type tool, to help automate some of our process and flow. We're using chat clients that are integrated with like Zendesk and several things that we're using to focus on onboarding and automation so that the ability for a KJ or a venue, because there were really two separate customers. A karaoke bar, a full-time karaoke bar, is one clientele, and then what we call a mobile DJ or KJ, they will host multiple nights of karaoke at multiple venues in a given week. The average is usually 3 venues and 3 nights of karaoke. And so they're really kind of two different subsets of needs, but as we create the value for the KJ or DJ, he then onboards the venue on the back end. And kind of speaking to that, we've actually seen where these venues have come on and said, we want more nights of karaoke. We've actually have some even up in Ohio that want to change and shift their entire approach of their bar to be a karaoke bar focused on the karaoke experience. And then likewise, we've seen venues even here in Nashville, San Antonio, and other places that don't have karaoke today that have understood the value of what we're bringing from a venue and patron perspective that are actually wanting to now host karaoke nights. And we're able to then basically go filter that back to our network of DJs and KJs and help them grow their business as well.
So it sounds like one way that bars can get started is if they actually seek you out, or if customers tell them about you guys. Are you also doing any kind of outreach to bars to in the form of outbound sales?
We are. I'll say this. We started focusing on like a email blast campaign. We've done some Facebook stuff. We've done some direct to chain restaurants. A good example is Hamburger Mary's that has come on and now wants to use our platform, and they've got locations in Atlanta, LA, Denver, Chicago, I think even like Sweden. Those have been a focal point, but we've actually been leveraging a strategic advising company here in Nashville called Back Porch Group. And they've been super instrumental in understanding what we're bringing to the table and helping us for scalability, helping us for our user and customer acquisition. And part of that has been taking these opportunities to grow gradually and learn from that and be able to adapt quickly. And the reason for that is really next week, October 22nd, we're having what's called the Karaoke Summit 15. And the entire platform for Karaoke Summit 15 is to show our new product rollout called Karaoke 360. And what that simply means is that we have our app and our platform embedded in the middle. We're also bringing to the table fully legal, fully licensed, high-definition karaoke content. And then on the back end of that, we actually have the integrated software to go back and playback that for DJ software with a company called PCDJ. So when we take Karaoke Cloud Pro, which is the content, Karaoke, the app and engagement platform, and then PCDJ Karaoke, we've created a very holistic 360 approach that has not been done today. And so when we speak about how we've scaled and the approach that we're taking, it's all been leading up to making sure that we can quickly and very agile deploy out for Karaoke Summit based off of the Karaoke 360 deployment.
So when we talk about music, one of the big topics is often licensing. Do you guys have to deal with anything on the licensing side of this music?
So yes and no. The actual Karaoke platform itself does not have to directly. By way of the partnership that we've created with Digitrax with their Karaoke Cloud Pro system, they already have an existing licensing and royalty payout system that they already handle directly with publishers. And so we become a part of that, and really what that simply becomes for the Karaoke 360 product is that you then basically get approval from the publishers that can become an embedded part of the process. And likewise, we're actually focusing on the publisher payouts for royalties to ensure that we're creating value back to the music industry and what we do, and doing that in a very transparent way. So much like if you have Billboard charts, we're creating karaoke charts so that you'll be able to understand the top artists and top songs being performed across the United States. And if, in fact, the actual app, the songbook that the DJ has songs that are not cleared for publishing for karaoke, we're still reporting those and the royalties are still being handled accordingly. But that gives us the ability to then help show unrealized revenue back to the music industry. And hopefully that'll be something that then if they get the licensed tracks to us, then they're continually monetizing that and not losing that revenue. And that's what we kind of aim to do.
So you recently went through the music project in Nashville, right?
Project Music, yeah.
Project Music, sorry. So tell me a bit about what was that experience like for you? What did that do for you guys as a company?
Sure. So Project Music started January of 2015, wrapped up April 24th, 2015. It was a grueling boot camp, if you will. The first week actually was called boot camp. And it felt like 30-hour days, even though there's not 30 hours in a day. And it was very important to us. So I think some of the biggest things that I can say is it helps you refine and drive back to creating processes around what you do. And when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about, you know, when I talk about advice to entrepreneurs, it's driving back to voice of the customer, voice of the business, surveying, getting out of the building and going and asking questions and verifying or disproving your assumptions. And all of those are critical for your business model. And I think Project Music really, really helped us to do that, which is really the overall format of the Nashville Entrepreneur Center. But more specifically for Project Music, it was getting us in front of decision makers and gatekeepers in the music industry that are now seeking and wanting to be a part of some disruption, some innovation, maybe in some cases not because they want to, but because it's becoming a necessity for the music industry based off of changes in streaming services like Spotify and the decrease in terrestrial radio and physical album sales.
Yep.
And so it's been a very big value for us to be able to start creating those relationships and being able to fast track you know, meeting with and EVPs and of Universal Music and Warner. I mean, we have two executive vice presidents from Universal Music that sit on our advisory board.
Wow.
And some other heavy players. And so I think that that's been super crucial for us is the relationship side of it. And then overall, just like the community and the family aspect. And I've talked about this in several other interviews and other companies have too. All of the eight companies that came out of Project Music and the people that were involved from a logistics side, program director, Heather McBee, even people at the EC, they bonded together and helped push each other over the finish line. And we all became kind of emotionally invested in everybody else's company that we want to see everyone succeed from this first cohort, this first accelerator, and then be able to help pave that way for future accelerators so that we can look back at Project Music 2020 and say, wow, we took a lot of arrows and look where they're at now. And if all of that can create better companies and more value for the music industry and for Nashville and Tennessee as a whole, then I think we've done our job.
So, what's kind of the next step? What stage are you guys in at Karaoq?
Sure. So the next big thing that we have coming again is October 22nd. It's the Karaoq Summit. And that's really unveiling this Karaoq 360 platform. And that's the ability to take the licensed content, our platform in the middle, and then the actual playback software and create the end-to-end experience. And as we start to ramp up from that, not to give a whole lot of detail, but it's going to be things like having actual artists as part of that venue queue, that video display, actual artists come on the screen and say, hey, I want you to sing my song X, and then be able to enact on that directly within the mobile app. And then likewise with if you take someone like Kenny Chesney, if his songs are super popular in karaoke and there's a lot of people singing them, he could actually give an engagement or a call to action. Hey, this is Kenny Chesney. I want you to sing my song X or Y. And then if you do that, I'll give you you'll get a shot of Blue Cher Bay Rum at the bar or whatever, because it can create a very distinct synergy between the artist and drink brands, because we're in front of a captive market, a captive audience that is unlike a lot of other ones. Meaning that they are engaging in music by physically performing it, which I think, you know, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. I think that them getting up and doing those songs and exposing themselves in such a way in front of friends, family, and strangers alike, I think that that shows that they are most likely an avid consumer of music. And typically they're doing that in a bar setting. And so the ability to create those synergies with major liquor brands, drink brands, artists, and music labels are kind of things that are starting to get deployed as we look beyond Karaoq Summit 15. And then going into next year, we're going to be focusing on Karaoq version 2, which is really kind of a massive facelift, but we're integrating specific things like getting a ride with Uber. So as much as we talk about the ability to go to these bars and do these songs and get drink specials, we want to do that in a responsible way. So if you can imagine, as you're leaving the bar or the venue, Karaoq, as it sees you checking out, says, hey, looks like you've had fun, had a few drinks, let's get you home safe with Uber. And you can directly enact on getting an Uber ride directly from the Karaoq app back to wherever you're going. And so I think that tells a good, responsible story for us, for the venue, and for the drink brands. And so as we focus on that and really focus on how do we create the best social experience, or what we like to call a social music experience with high volume media, is being able to understand what is going on in the venue, the vibe. So when we talk about demographics, median age range, most popular genres of music, those are the types of things we're going to now begin to expose through the app so that people can see what is happening in the venue before they even get there. And then be able to have a very social, very personalized, very on-demand experience. And we're going to be launching that at Nightclub and Bar, and also Mobile Beat, both of which are in Las Vegas trade shows in March.
So you're saying that, like, before I go to a bar, I could actually see, well, most of the bar crowd is 24 to 30, and they're listening to country music?
Absolutely correct. And that actually came from, again, surveying, where we would have people telling us that they would call karaoke bars if they're out of town and saying, hey, what's the type of what's the scene look like there? What type of music are you guys playing? And if you even look at what Google's doing today, Google's focusing on crowdsourcing data for restaurants to know how long the wait is. Or if you look at Waze, you know, the ability to know what's going on highways and interstates and with wrecks. All of this thing is being sourced because it's a value to the people who are engaging in that content. And so us being able to help help correlate the vibe of the venue without necessarily being there, and the ability to get completely transparent and jump into the venue and see what the queue looks like before you get there, right? There's obviously a natural, almost like a Tinder type of spend where, like, you know, you can see how many guys and girls in the age range and if that's a type of venue that you want to go out to. And if you're like certain singers, they prefer a certain demographic and a certain genre of music. And so being able to give people that transparency and insight before they even get to the venue is going to be a big spend for us. And then just simply knowing where your friends are at and what they're doing around you through the app, and being able to capture those moments directly through the app to create much like a social feed for karaoke of what's going on across all these venues.
Interesting. Well, how do we keep up with you and karaoke online?
Absolutely. You can go out to karaoke.com, K-A-R-A-O-Q.com. When you get to the main page, you can actually just scroll down and you'll see sign up for our newsletter. We typically put a lot of stuff out there. We also have a news and press section that you can subscribe to. And those both exist on karaoke and High Volume's website, which is HIVOLU.ME, a little play on words there. But they'll both be available. And in fact, we've got some press releases coming out for Entrepreneur Magazine and an article that's getting published on us there as well. So we constantly try to stay out in front in the news and the media and letting people be aware of what we're doing.
Awesome. Well, and what is your karaoke song?
I've changed it. I used to always say You Give Love a Bad Name by Bon Jovi, but then I found out that that wasn't legally licensed. So actually, I'd probably say Lose Yourself by Eminem. In fact, we did Oktoberfest here in Nashville, which is a huge draw, 100,000 people. It's one of the biggest Oktoberfest festivals in the Southeast. And we have actually had an entire stage. It's up on our Facebook page. We got video. But we had 500-600-700 people packed in two blocks deep, and we were all doing these songs to the point that the Metro police were like, all right, we've got to shut it down. It's getting late. There's a ton of people still here. And the last song I did was Lose Yourself by Eminem. So it was a fun time. And, I mean, if you go look at the videos, there's this girl that was doing Beyonce, Halo by Beyonce, and her friend got up on stage and took her shoes off and started doing, like, the whole ballet dance. And you're just watching the crowd and they're all doing like the whip and the nay-nay and stuff. And it's like truly what we call a social music experience. It's just everybody's out there having fun and engaging and connecting. And we always like to say it's creating moments and memories and relationships and a social music experience. And that's what we love about what we get to do is we get to work hard, but we get to play hard too.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, absolutely. I really enjoyed talking to you all.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Rocket Ship Podcast. If you enjoyed it, we have tons of other awesome episodes on our website. Check them out, rocketship.fm.
And if you'd like a transcription of this show, we have now partnered with Jot Engine, who does some fantastic transcriptions. So you can go to rocketship.fm and check out this episode's show page, and there'll be a link for the transcription. And if you'd like to get a transcription yourself, go to jotengine.com and sign up. Make my own in my own place. I got no room for no man. That's my way. That's my way. But then I saw you in a dream, right? I wanna call you. I kinda feel that I can't name. I can't name. It's strange, but I don't need space from you. In every single thing you do. A knife and carve a little space for you. It feels nice. Down my defense.
swore that I wouldn't go falling again. I could be faded with somebody new. Rather be sober at home, just us two. I make my own rules and my own plans. I got no room for no man. That's my way. That's my way. Then I saw you in a dream, right? I wanna call you. I kinda feel that I can't name. I can't name. It's strange, but I don't need space from you. In every single thing you do, I like. I've been chased. Maybe I just knew I had to wait for you. Draw a knife and carve a little space for you. Can't name. I can't name.